Hey gearheads, and welcome to Garage Talk, a discussion about all things automotive. I'm Corey.
And I'm Matt. And each week this podcast will serve as a catalyst for discussion on all sorts of topics. And I mean all sorts of topics that grind our gears, rev our engines, or just need a bit more conversation.
Yes, and I think we've got some good conversation on this week's episode.
Definitely. Kind of going back to our roots a little bit.
Yeah. So kind of tying in episode one from way back when we started this podcast, where we introduced ourselves and our own personal car histories to a little bit of discussion that we've picked up from our friends over at Brake Check Show. If you have not listened to their episode from last week, go check that out. Episode number 64. Brake Check Show versus GT Garage Talk, round one.
Indeed.
A little foreshadowing there, but I'll just leave it at that. Anywho, we made just really good friends and had just so much fun recording with the guys from Brake Check Show. And one thing that I've noticed about on their podcast, again, if you have not checked it out, the link is in the show notes for our interview with them last week. But one thing that they've started that I really liked was a segment where they talk about vehicles they wish their dad had never gotten rid of. So I think their dad would give you a run for your money on having multiple different vehicles and never knowing what you're going to show up in the next day.
Pretty much.
Growing up, that's how they became gearheads, because there was always a constant flow of new vehicles. And there are some that they really wish he had never gotten rid of. And that got me to thinking and you to thinking, what cars, not only in our lives from our past that we've owned, would we want to have back? But what about vehicles that have been in our family that we're like, why did this one get away?
The ones that got away.
So this week is just that, the ones that got away. Do you want me to start off? You want to start off? I've actually got two.
You have two?
That are really just nagging at me.
Well, mine
are fairly obvious to those who have followed this channel for a while. So maybe you or if you've only got one, we can ping pong back and forth.
Oh, no, I have several, actually. Oh,
well, go figure. Okay.
I've had several really strong vehicles, rigs that I've really,
please
really
tell me
enjoyed.
Tallulah is somewhere on this list.
Yes, most definitely. Tallulah is on the list. And I can tell you, if I still had that car, it would not be the same that it was when she went upside down.
Poor Tallulah.
Yeah.
To get the full story on Tallulah, again, episode one, season one, a Garage Talk.
Yeah.
We'll catch you up there.
Well, and the episode with Goal Life Nutrition as well, we let in a little bit on that. But, so Tallulah's on the list for sure. I had a 1994 Ford F-150 XLT extended cab 4x4 with the 5.0 and a 5-speed. It was green two-tone.
I remember that one.
It had a sliding back glass.
Yep.
And it had bucket seats that were leather-ish.
So they were vinyl.
It had a center console, which was cool. And it had power windows and locks, including a remote button to open and shut the...
You so fancy.
It was an awesome, awesome truck. It was gutless.
Yeah.
It's from the early 90s, so the red mark on the Speedo, where it wants to be... Was it 55?
Yeah.
And a combination of tall gears and a gutless motor meant that 55, you're doing like 2,200 RPM.
Yep.
So, it was a tired old truck, but it was a sweet old truck. I really, really enjoyed that truck. Many, many, many memories. I actually got my CB handle given to me in that truck.
Which was?
Sidestep.
Okay. So... That explains.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to ask you for so long. That's the handle that you use on Instagram. It's a handle you use when writing for our blogs.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering where that came from.
And my dear close friend, John Mercer, gave me that handle right after I shattered the cast aluminum step off of the passenger side of that truck climbing out of a mud hole. So.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's some good stories behind behind that truck. So
probably some I shouldn't share.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's our habit, our forte is hooning around, doing things that maybe we ought not.
Yeah,
definitely. Especially, you know, now that we know our kids listen to this, especially yours. Your oldest knows our intro and outro better than we do.
No kidding. So,
Grant, we love you. But okay, so playing along those lines,
yeah.
My first one that I will bring to the table is probably not the one that you're thinking of.
Okay.
It did wear a bow tie badge, which is not surprising because
most
of my vehicles wear a bow tie badge. But
such a shame.
Hey. I resemble that.
Oh, wait, I think I know what it is.
It is my 07 new body style. It wasn't the classic that they carried over for a year. Chevy Silverado crew cab with the 5.3 in it. And, man, I love that truck.
LT2 Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was LT2 Texas Edition. So it had bucket seats with the center console, just like you were talking about.
Yeah.
It was about as decked out as I could get without going to the top trim LTZ at the time. And man, I love that truck. I bought it for doing pool cleaning work all over East Texas when I worked for a swimming pool store.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd go pick up loads with it, would pull the trailer with it. Like, I put it to work. And I also did a lot of stupid things. In that. There was a certain mud hole that I have had no business venturing anywhere near. Especially by myself. I don't know what I was doing. I was in uncharted territory, scoping out something for me and our good friend Andy to go check out at a later point.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can make it through this. Yeah, I couldn't. I was sunk to my bumper. Naturally, Andy was the person I called. I was like, brother, do you... you got a moment? Can you come fish me out of a hole? Because I'm stuck good. And he was just returning the favor because by that point, I had pulled him out of two really good muck, like almost cement type mud holes at that point. So, yeah, he owed me. Yeah. And I miss that truck to the point. I think I've mentioned on this podcast before. One, I still have the spare set of keys for it. And I've seen it around town, but never when I have the keys in my current possession. Like, I know where they are here at my house, but I just need to start carrying them around with me because I've had several dreams where I've run into it out in the wild and I had the keys with me, and I just took it home. And if you know anything about me, her name is Sarah Jo.
Right.
And I miss Sarah Jo.
Yeah.
And, like, I drive a compact car now. Like, there's no room in there. And there was so much room inside that truck.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was a crew cab. It would be a great family vehicle, aside from the fuel economy issue. But I'm driving maybe 20 miles a month as of currently.
Right.
Fuel economy, not an issue right now. But like I said, that truck took me to many a black swimming pool that I turned crystal clear blue again. It took me through many different mud holes. And, you know, we only got stuck, I believe, technically twice. So, you know, she was a good truck. She was only two-wheel drive.
Technically.
So, yes. Those are the only two that have stuck in my memory. The one was the one I just mentioned
with
Andy. The
rest you've blotted out forever. Well,
possibly.
Yeah.
But the other, I was riding with my brother, and I know I've shared this story before, and he told me to take a certain line that just did not seem right to me, but I took his advice anyway and got high-centered, and a Ford had to come pull me out, and I know you love that story.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. All right. Another one on my list, and this was one I was talking with a buddy about yesterday. He had a 98 Civic, two-door, EX, power windows and locks, sunroof, five-speed, four-cylinder, in red.
Yeah.
Mine was exactly the same thing, 2 years newer in white. And up until I got the Subaru, that was the car that I probably had the most fun in because it didn't care. Is it Von Gittin Jr. that's got the ain't care going on right now on social? Mm-hmm. That was this car. It didn't care if you were doing 100 miles an hour in fourth gear at 4,000 RPM or cruising at 45. I mean, it you could hammer on it. You could drive it easy. It didn't care. It was awesome. It was fairly quick.
It was a VTEC?
Lightweight. Yeah, it was a VTEC. Yep. It was fairly lightweight. It was peppy. It was just a lot of fun. You could break loose the front tires at will. You know, just sidestep the clutch at about $3,000 and they would light up. It was just a blast of a little car.
So I'll again stick kind of similarly along those lines.
Okay.
And again, mention a car that you probably would not expect on this list of ones that got away. Sticking with the rad era of vehicles, so 90s.
Yeah.
For those of you who are longtime listeners, I had as my first car a 1991 Cadillac Eldorado in maroon with maroon leather interior. It was maroon everywhere as far as the eye could see.
It's a lot of red.
And so we got rid of that car. Again, it was my first car, so I was, you know, 16, 17, 18 while I owned it. But there towards the end of its time in my possession, it seemed like every other month it was in the shop for transmission problems.
Yeah.
And it was not the coolest car of the time or of my friend group. And so, you know, me being a gearhead, I had my eyes on other things. And now I'm like, man, I kind of like that car.
Yeah.
Like, it was a cruiser.
Big, comfortable.
Yes.
Heavy.
And so you and I are both friends or members, or I don't know the term. I guess it's members of a Facebook group called Radwood,
yeah,
which really digs into the 80s, 90s era vehicles. And on a whim, I posted a picture of me washing it when it was brand new. Well, brand new to me.
Yeah.
Not brand new. Though it was in our family from brand
from new.
It was my grandfather's car and handed down to me when I started driving.
Mm.
But, you know, I was hand washing it in the driveway. I posted that picture. I think I've gotten more positive feedback on that picture than any other car picture I've ever posted on the internet, on my personal anything ever.
Right.
Because one, it was the target audience,
and
everybody was sharing pictures of theirs, whether it was a Coupe de Ville of the era or another Eldorado like that. I did not realize there was so much love for, as they called them, I saw in a few comments, the small body caddies, because it was a smaller bodied Cadillac. It was not your 76 DeVille. The, you know, fuel crisis paid its toll and shrank all of Americans' vehicles. The doors on it were still heavier than my car now, I'm pretty sure. But there's just something about that. You know, I would get stopped by older guys at red lights wanting to buy it off of me. And I have not had that with any vehicle since. Granted, I've gone more mainstream with my vehicles. Everything I've driven since basically blends into the sea of, you know, normalness around us. But
colors included.
Yeah, that one was definitely something special, and I am sad that Rosita is no longer in my life.
Rosita.
Yeah. I did not have the money to keep her up, and from there, I went, you know, sadly, Pontiac Grand Am GT.
Sadly?
Well, something sadly iconic and classic to a Pontiac Grand Am.
It was a GT. It had the Ram Air hood.
Yes.
It had the sexy red gauges and
monsoon sound system, yeah. Sunroof. That was a car that made me fall in love with having sunroofs, and I can't believe every other vehicle after that has not included one, but it is what it is.
That was the one box you didn't check on your pickup, wasn't it?
Yeah. And four-wheel drive. That would have
helped. Oh, yeah.
But it had that G80 locker in the back that, you know, I watched so many videos about how it's as good as a four-wheel drive. It was not as good as a four-wheel drive. Trust me. It's not even as good as a real locker. So, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. Granted, I was young at the time. I think I was 21 when I bought it. So, what did I know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I miss that truck. I miss that caddy. And I've got another one on my list.
I keep finding some similarities in the era of vehicles that you and I have owned. So you had a 91 Caddy. I had a 94 F-150. Mm-hmm. You had a crew cab pickup. I had extended cab pickup. Mm-hmm. You had an 07. Mm-hmm. I also had an 07. Although this is probably the largest departure from any similarities. Mine was my Honda Shadow Spirit. Uh-huh. In Honda Blue.
Yeah, all of my vehicles have had four wheels.
Oh,
I don't know what you're doing with this two wheel nonsense, but
man, I tell you what, I sold it because I didn't need it.
I mean, do we need any vehicles in the day of Uber? And
I kick myself every time I think about that bike because it would have been long paid for by now.
Yeah.
I probably would have had 80 or 90,000 miles on that bike by now. Several tires, several oil changes, you know.
See, that's the thing that gets me about the truck was I got rid of it because of the payment at the time. I was no longer cleaning pools and things of that nature, but I wanted a different payment or a lower payment and better fuel economy. Well, you know, in the world nowadays, it would be paid off and I'm barely driving it. So, like,
I know. Yeah, well, and I mean, I would be driving this bike every day. I'm 2 miles from work, and it's all side streets except for like a half mile stretch of it. So, I would be,
How many speeding tickets or how many extra expenses would have come along those years if you still had that bike?
Probably not too many, because that bike. I mean, if you know the Shadows. It's a 750. This one was carbureted. It was old enough to be carbureted. It wasn't excessively loud. It wasn't excessively fast. The sweet spot for that bike was really between 45 and 55 miles an hour. That's where the RPM felt good. It's where the power band was. It's where it liked to rest. It's where it liked to be. And I had it up at 70 and 75 a couple of times. Granted, this was my first bike, and I was maybe or maybe not licensed at the time for it.
I think the statute of limitations is long gone on that one.
Maybe. It 70 and 75, it just felt like that thing was about to come apart. It was just absolutely screaming because it wasn't what it was designed for. And it was great. I was living in Oklahoma City at the time. And all the speed limits around there are between 40 and 60. And so getting anywhere in Oklahoma City on that thing was wonderful because it was right there where it wanted to be all the time. And that blue, Google Honda Shadow Blue because it is spectacular.
I'll do you one better. I will say you send me all the pictures of all these rigs that you're talking about. Uh-huh. I'll compile all the pictures of the rigs that I'm talking about.
I'll write a blog post. Okay.
GTGarageTalk.com.
Yeah.
And we'll have it all pulled up for you.
Awesome.
Right there in one place. Just so you can dream and visualize with us.
Yeah.
Because we cannot do justice to the vehicles we loved so much that we want back in our lives purely by word alone. I mean, we can dream and drool over them all we want, but
I'm gonna see if I can find a picture of that bike right now. I know there's one on Facebook somewhere.
Be scrolling and scrolling and scrolling through old pictures. I think you might have even sent me one at one point. Just because this is not the first time you and I have talked about it.
So. This is true.
But so, yeah, I have no two-wheeled vehicles to add to this list.
No?
No. Okay. But I do have one that I think it would be the least practical right now for me to have back. But it's the one that I would absolutely have the most fun in.
Agreed.
And that was my 45th anniversary, 2012 Camaro SS. And it was decked out. It had every option on it. It is the only, I don't know if I can truly call it fully loaded because I do believe the ZL1 was out at that point in time, which was the top of the line, supercharged engine and all that stuff.
Right.
But as far as your everyday run-of-the-mill, I guess you would say Camaros go, this one was...
average.
Yeah, the pinnacle because it had the 426 horsepower V8 engine, 6.2 liter.
Yep.
Yes, I say 426 horsepower because it was a six-speed manual. The Camaros of that generation, the automatics and the manuals had different power numbers. I believe... Really? The automatic only had 420 horsepower.
Only.
Yeah. It had to make do with a piddly 420 horsepower. But, you know, that's I got just, the manual, so 426 for me. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, before I ever put 100 miles on that vehicle myself, I had a K&N air intake already ordered because it was the easiest, quickest, cheapest way to do anything performance-wise to that vehicle. And I don't know, have you ever done not just an air filter, but an air intake replacement on any vehicle before?
On my F-150, I have.
Yeah, I did it both on this Camaro and on my Silverado.
Yeah.
And I don't know what engineers are thinking. I know there's so many stupid regulations they had to meet.
And, yeah.
But both of those old air, the plenum, I believe is the right word, all the plastic bits that go from the air filter to the throttle body, there are just so many nonsensical chambers and appendages, and it's like, what are they doing? Just make a straight pipe, which is essentially what I got with the K&N.
Yeah.
And I would imagine it is for 50 state regulation because as I was told by the dealer that I ended up trading her into, she wasn't fully street legal. They wanted the original parts back if I still had them.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. So I had... By the time they called me asking for them, I had just gotten rid of them by like a day or two.
Oh,
I was living in an apartment at the time, and they were in the dumpster at that point.
Ugh.
I kept them until...
Up until that point.
Until I traded the car in, because I was like, well, I don't have this car anymore. And it's a giant box of...
Yeah.
I don't even know how to describe just all the appendages and growths coming out of this oddly shaped plastic straw, basically, that need not be there. And it was just crazy. Both of those vehicles, just too much. And I very much loved the sound that those intakes helped the engines make, because that was something I wasn't even factoring in. The Silverado was the first one I did that to, and I was like, man, that made my engine sound really good.
Yeah.
Because she can breathe now.
Exactly.
It's not like breathing through... Oh, I don't want to get political here. A mask.
Oh, boy.
But it seriously was. It was freeing up that engine to truly breathe like it wanted to. And both of those were very stout V8s. Like I said, it was 5.3 Vortec in my Silverado and a 6.2 LS. I think they were LS4s at that point.
Okay.
In the Camaro. And, yeah, I loved both those rigs. And I really, 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 I had the Borla exhaust picked out that I wanted to put on that Camaro, but financial situation at the time that I owned it, which led to my departure of ownership with her, did not exactly line up for me to spend upwards of $1,200 on a exhaust.
Yeah.
But, oh, she would have sounded so good.
Yeah.
And there was no way I was going to drive anywhere quietly. But, yes, I miss that car. I miss, you know, in the rearview mirrors, they weren't huge, but the view out of the rearview mirrors, that big hip
coming out
the back.
Yeah.
And just the stealth fighter looks of that thing. It, ironically enough, it's in the same black color that my Cruze is. It was a special black metallic paint for the anniversary edition that then they ended up, you know, rolling out to Chevy Cruze.
Everything else.
So yeah. It's like, there goes the special factor of that paint color. But it had a two-tone stripe package on it for the 45th anniversary. There were gray stripes on that black paint job, but one of the stripes was cut in with a red stripe that had 45 etched into it. And looked pretty sweet. Had the 45th anniversary logo in the backrest of the seats. Had red, white, and blue stitching on the gear lever and on the steering wheel, which that steering wheel is also in my Chevy Cruze. So, you know, parts sharing. The same sharing. Wheel. Yeah. Yeah, the exact same wheel, just without the, you know, fancy leather stitching or the awesome car attached behind it.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I missed that one. It she was perfect as is, but I could have spent a lot of money.
Oh yeah,
making her perfecter.
Perfecter. So I have been out of a truck since September.
Yeah.
And actually, it's kind of funny that the truck that I got, or the truck that I got rid of, rather, an 08 F-150 XLT. Crew cab, four-wheel drive, 5.4,
modular.
Yeah, modular, three-valve, 5.4.
Don't do it.
Run away.
Do not do it.
Run away.
If you are shopping for a Ford.
2004 to 2008, stay away from anything three-valve from Ford. Just don't
do it. That's your buying advice right here from GT Garage Shop.
Don't do it. That's professional and experienced advice. I miss having a truck in general, and I did really, really enjoy that truck.
I'm right there with you. I miss having a truck as well, like so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Although I don't know that it would make my list of the ones that got away.
Really?
Which is ironic, again, because I had it for like 8 or 9 years. It was the longest I've ever had any rig.
But it's also the most recent to you.
It's also the most recent. A lot of good memories in that truck. I tore up the fan clutch four-wheeling in northeast Oklahoma and drove it for several weeks with the fan engaged all the time until I figured out, hey, it shouldn't be doing this and put a new fan clutch in it. But, I actually tried to rip the driver's side step rail off of that one.
You seem to have a habit here.
Yeah. I've about decided if it's not a rock slider, it ought not be on the side of whatever it is I'm driving.
Duly noted for anything I let you drive in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's that is probably one of the boxes that I check every time I build a Bronco. Rock sliders. Yeah. It's just.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If you're buying a rig of that intent...
Yes.
Rock sliders.
Yeah.
Always.
Most definitely. But I miss that truck. Yeah. It was a really good truck. The first set of tires I put on it were BFG, all-terrain, DA, KO. Not KO2s.
I was going to say KO2s.
No, okay. No. These were the OG.
Yeah, okay.
These were the original KOs. And they were $1,300 for a set of four.
I think my Camaro's tires would beat you on that one. So
well, yeah, but you only bought two at a time.
I only bought two ever, and they were the rear ones. And I'll just leave that.
Okay,
there.
Okay. How many miles did you get out of those rear tires?
Oh, gosh, I think maybe 30,000.
Oh, okay, yeah, you got me beat.
Yeah,
I got at least 50 out of mine.
Okay.
All four of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, those Pirelli P0s, they're pricey.
Yeah.
Just a little pricey.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Especially when they're 20-inch diameter. I can't remember how wide they were or anything like that, but I miss that car. Man, Cameron, come back to me.
Come back.
Come back. Baby, come back.
I'm sorry
that I did that to you, listeners.
I'm trying to think back over my history, because I've had several Beetles, several Bugs. I had 74 that I Baja'd-ish. I had a 72 Super. I had, what was that other one? A 72 Standard.
So far, you and I have talked about vehicles that we personally, the two of us, have owned. Mm-hmm. I know if my wife were in the room right now, she still, every once in a while, I'm going to give her the benefit here, and jokes with me that I, quote, made her get rid of her Mini Cooper, which she loved so dearly.
Uh-huh.
But I believe it was a mutual choice because it was a two-door, and we had a kid coming.
Right.
And my car is a four-door, and it is so much easier getting kids in and out of four-door vehicles versus two-door vehicles.
Agreed.
And it was much easier for her to learn to drive stick than for her Mini Cooper to grow two more doors. So that was the decision there. Expanding it out even further to vehicles from our family's past.
Yeah.
So last Father's Day, you and I had our dads on the show.
Yeah.
And my dad owned up to not really being much of a gearhead. He had a Mustang in his past. But, like, cars were never to him like they are to me and my brother. We honestly got that a little bit more from our mom than anything else. But I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh, our family. So we never just had crazy awesome cars in our family growing up. I mean, we had a station wagon, which today you and I would think is cool. It's an old station wagon with the fake wood down the side.
Station wagons have never been not cool.
Yeah, we replaced that with a minivan, 92 Plymouth Grand Voyager, maroon with a goldish tan interior, or cloth interior.
Checking all the boxes.
With mid-row captain's chairs to keep us from arguing with each other, because on long road trips,
right,
they would put a box of toys between us and say, you know, just dig in there if you're getting on one another's nerves and play with something.
Shut up and play.
Yeah, because there was no he's on my side or anything. Uh-uh. You had your captain's chair. Yep. That was your chair. The problem was that was before they started putting doors on both sides. So, you know, you had to wait on the other person. And And then we replaced that with the car that I'm bringing up to this list, which is actually still in the family.
It is.
But
I would love to see that car revived.
She needs some work. She needs some love. Oh, yeah. But I do credit this car with really getting me into wanting to do, like, car reviews. And if I had the jump on Doug DeMuro in his quirks and features, because that is what I did. It was my mom's 1998 Pontiac Wide Track Grand Prix GTP. Yeah, you got to get the full marketing name out
all of it.
But it had a 240 horsepower, 280 pound-feet of torque, supercharged 3.6 liter transversely mounted V6. I believe I got that right.
3.6 or 3.8?
I think it was 3... Ooh.
I think it's a 3.8.
I think you're right.
I think they got smaller as they went on.
It was a 3.8. Thank you for correcting me on that.
Tell me the year again. I'll Google
1998 verify. Grand Prix GTB. So it was red, tan leather interior, and it was loaded. Sunroof, had the 12-disc CD changer in the trunk, which is something of an era long gone.
No kidding.
CD changers in the trunk. But, man, to let's see, how old was I when we got that? Like 13, 14-year-old kid. That car was awesome. And I cannot tell you how many evenings, afternoons, mornings, I would go sit in the garage with my mom's key. I would turn the accessories on. I knew not to turn the actual car on in a closed garage. And I would play with every button. I knew that car inside and out. I knew every detail. I knew where everything was hidden. I knew everything about that car because I would go sit in it and just play with all the buttons and figure out what everything did. And I truly miss that car at its peak.
Yeah.
It's traveled around the family and it's done basically, you know, daily commute work. And being that it was a 90s GM product, the years
it's and a little the mileage worse for wear. Yeah.
Have gotten up to it. So yeah. The poor old girl needs a little bit of loving. She was at our first annual GT Garage Talks Unlikely Heroes car show.
First annual.
Yeah, yeah, first annual. You're going to make sure I say that, don't I? But she was there. So yeah. If you were there, you got to see her and in all her glory. She never got a name. I never named her.
No.
She's not in my possession anymore. I don't feel like I have the right to name her.
Okay.
But yeah, I miss that car at her peak.
Yeah.
That special place in my heart for that. Seriously, like I'd pretend to drive it in the garage. Like so many hours wasted sitting in a hot Texas garage. I don't know how much sweat of mine has seeped into that car because I was just sitting in there playing with it.
But, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. All right. So Google confirmed via Edmunds.com. Yep. 3.8 liter, 240 horsepower. You're dead on there.
Yep.
At 5,200 RPM. Yep. So fairly low revving.
Yep.
280 foot-pounds of torque at 3,200 RPM.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that thing was way underrated.
Yeah.
That was a moving motor scooter.
And I remember, so my brother either had his permit or his license at the time my parents bought this. They were going down to buy a Chevy Impala of the era.
Yeah.
And they came back in that. Mm-hmm. And they took us all, keep in mind, we're going from a Plymouth Grand Voyager, 92 Plymouth Grand Voyager to this. My parents took us all down to the dealership to sign the paper to make it officially ours. And then on the drive back, there's still, to this day, on 69, heading north to Tyler from Bullard, Texas, just this random lane off to the side that is for who knows what. I'm sure somebody at DOT could tell me why this lane exists. But my parents pulled over and let my brother drive it home from there, which wasn't too far from our house in Flint at the time. But they let him accelerate in it. Man, that thing would move. My mom got her, as far as my memory serves me, got her second, maybe third speeding ticket in that car because it was a rust me red. I mean, it was bright red.
It was beautiful.
You would be going fast in it if you weren't paying attention to speed.
Oh, man,
which it had a heads-up display, which was advanced technology for the time. And it was, you know, green digital
technology that I'm grateful has come back.
Yes.
I really like HUD.
Yeah.
Like
it is so much better now, too.
Oh, it is much better. Well, except for that. What was that we drove a couple of weeks ago?
The Buick Encore.
That had the goofy piece of plastic.
Yeah.
It's just going to break.
It's the cheapest way. And the fact that it folded up when you turn the car off.
Yeah.
I'm like, why?
It's no.
What's going to knock it off? Just stop. But yes,
just display it on the glass like everybody else.
Yeah, I think you had to get a certain kind of windshield for that to work, so it was a cost saving measure on the windshield side of things. I'm not entirely sure about that, but
okay. So a $750 windshield versus a $500 windshield versus
whatever
a $2,000 option for this HUD now because it's got mechanics and everything. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, and that was also one of the first vehicles that. It was definitely the first vehicle I experienced, and it was at the beginning of the trend of putting buttons on steering wheels.
Yeah.
Especially radio control buttons, because I remember drooling over when they redid the Camaro for 98, they started putting steering wheel buttons, I believe. 98 was the first year they started doing that in the Camaro, and I'm like, what? That's weird. Why would steering wheel mounted radio controls? Why do you need that? And lo and behold, my mom's Pontiac Grand Prix GTP had that on there. And I was like, man, this is sweet. And they are so much more well integrated into the steering wheel experience than they were back then, because they were huge, chunky buttons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that had no right being on the steering wheel at that point. But you look at steering wheels now, and some manufacturers have taken it overboard.
Oh, yeah.
Where you've got air conditioning controls on the steering wheel. I know Ford was doing that for the longest. I don't know if they still are. But, I mean, you can control practically anything from the steering wheel of certain vehicles, and it's like, at what point is it too much? And I think that is too much.
Yeah, you know? I would agree. Just keep it
simple, stupid, right?
I would agree.
That's the acronym.
So I'm going to elude some – no, that's not even the right way of saying it. I'm going to share some exclusive information that the Garage Talk family does not yet know about me.
Oh, dear.
Unless they've known me for a long time, which most of you don't, I don't believe. I think I mentioned the 98 Grand Am SE two-door in white, like yours.
Right.
Mine was a two-door.
Yes, but it was an SE. Mine was a GT.
But mine was a two-door.
But mine was a GT.
Two-door. And the other Pontiac that I had in my life was an 06 Pontiac G6.
Yes, it was.
It was a four-door. Mm-hmm. It was white, like my 98 Grand Am. 3.6 V6 in that one. And that thing was a riot.
Yeah.
That was... the interior was garbage. I mean, it was cheap and quickly manufactured. Yeah. It was coming into the years of the GM demise and buyout and all that garbage. So, you know, quality was... It left a lot on the table.
It was one of their better-selling vehicles at the time, if not their best-selling vehicle.
And it handled like it was on rails.
Yep.
It was ridiculous for a transversely mounted front engine rear drive, or front engine front drive, excuse me, front engine front drive car that was probably 65, 35, maybe even 70-30 split on weight. That thing, it, golly, loops getting off the highway, you know, stuff like that.
The clover leaf, the
infamous clover leafs and all, 50, 60 miles an hour. It just.
I bet you were miserable to ride with in that car.
Probably. Yeah. It was not a forgiving car. So, quick steering, stout suspension, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Plenty of power in that V6 for that small of a car, for that little car. That was a fun car.
You know, it will be interesting to see how we revisit this list maybe in 5 or 10 years as we start building our repertoire of cars. Is that even the right application of that word? I just wanted to throw a French word in there. But as you and I start reviewing more and more rigs, I mean, just from the event we got back from a few weeks ago, we had, 19 under our belt from that? And more in our very near future. So we're very much building our resume of vehicles that we've gotten behind the wheel of, in addition to the fact that you and I just drive things for the fun of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is one thing that led us here to forming GT Garage Talk is, you know, we just love cars, and we love talking cars, and we love driving cars, and of all shapes, sizes, and makes and models. And, you know, you were drooling over my family's old Oldsmobile wagon and the minivan we replaced it with. And I didn't even mention my dad's Mazda 323.
Oh, man.
There was definitely nothing special about that except for the stick. It was a five-speed. Five-speed? Were they even making five-speed manuals at that point in time? Yes,
they were.
It was like a late 80s model, if that. I can't
even... There were Fox bodies with five speeds back in the early 80s.
But it was a Japanese Econobox. Like, I really don't know. It was probably... I can't tell you the year that it was. I would know it if I could pick it out of a lineup. But it gun to my head, I would say 89 Mazda 323. And it was red with black vinyl interior. And, I hear you typing over there.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do it as well.
85 to 89.
Mazda 323.
Is that it?
Oh, gosh, that is it. Yeah. Well, I don't...
No? Maybe? Not really? I'm throwing parts over here.
Yeah, you are. No, no. I'm seeing the back view. Well, it definitely wasn't the hatch. It was the sedan. Yeah.
Okay. So...
Yeah, that was it right there. Anyway, yeah. So we've had some interesting vehicles in our history. It would be very interesting to revisit all the vehicles my family has ever owned.
Yeah.
And get to review them. I know it's never going to happen, especially because, like, who still has a decent 92 Plymouth Grand Voyager? Because the minivans of that era I see driving around.
5-speed manual. Wait, there was a 4-speed option as well. Yeah, there was a 4-speed and a 5-speed option.
See, I don't know. I'd have to get my dad on the horn and see. That old 323 you had, was a 5-speed, 4-speed? What'd you have in it?
Yeah. That's. And then the 3-speed automatic.
You know, it was really interesting. Oh, automatics were like 3-speed for the longest. Then they were 4-speed for like forever.
Yep.
And then the floodgates opened. And it, like, they were 6-speed was like the go-to de facto for like 2 years. But now they're 7s, 8s, 9s, 10s.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone full nuts.
What is
a phrase from you.
The C7 has a 7-speed option.
7-speed manual. Yeah, that one's a weird one. And then the new Bronco. The
new Bronco's got 6+.
Yeah, because it's really a crawl gear. So you're not using it for daily driving. It's
My father-in-law's 2000 model F-250 is a 5+1.
Yeah.
Because it's got a granny low. So 6-speed.
Yeah. Technically speaking, yeah. So... Well, do you have any to add to our list, or is that it?
I think I'm about tapped out. I've been rattling through here trying to figure out, and I guess that's the point, right? The ones that got away would be the ones that we think about often and reminisce over. So.
Or in my case, have dreams that I'm hijacking back from its current legal owner because I just so happen to still have the keys.
Oh, that's too funny.
I can't tell you how many times I've had that dream. Not only have I...
Should I be concerned?
Maybe. If I call you to bail me out, you know why. But not only have I had dreams where I just take it back, but I've had dreams where I buy it back.
And yeah.
They've put new wheels and tires on it. I don't know if they put a leveling kit on it, and it honestly has been a little while since I've seen her driving around town.
Yeah.
But... I have the dreams of it being my daily driver again, and it makes me happy, but it also stresses me out because I'm like, how did I get this? Did I buy it? Did I steal it? Because, in those vague dreams where I don't explicitly take it, I'm always wondering, how did this come back to my possession? So I am haunted by that truck in one way, shape, or form. But that leads us to... Back to you, our listeners. What vehicles did you have in your past life or your family? What vehicle do you wish you had back that you have no longer? It could be like our friends over from Brake Check, something that your parents had when you were growing up that, oh gosh, why did they get rid of this? Was I the reason that they got rid of this? Because, they needed back doors or something like that. But what vehicle in your past, your family's past, do you wish you had back? Let us know. You can shoot us an email, gtgaragetalk@gmail.com. You can go over to gtgaragetalk.com, read our blog post about vehicles in our lives that got away, and comment down below that blog post and let us know what vehicles you just miss from your past and share that with us. And we just look forward to continuing the conversation with you. And Matt's blaring me out of here.
It's a little hard.
For your go-to shop for anything with GT Garage Talk, head on over to gtgaragetalk.com. And until next time, bye.